Blog Talk Radio. I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. This is our May the 25th, 2016 show. We appreciate you listening. We've been doing this since 2008, and we're having a lot of fun. And thank you for supporting independent music. My special guest tonight is Aaron Garrett. And Aaron is an actor, a screenwriter, a director, and he's got a new movie coming up. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Thank you.
Well, you got a lot going on, and we have a pretty active listening audience that, you know, we've had people on before, Aaron, that have, you know, had movies and things like that, and I've always felt like, wow, you know, there's got to be so many things going on. You're going to be directing your new film, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's my first time directing a film, but it's, you know, it's basically, I tell people when I write something, I literally see the film like in my head, and I just write out what I see, and I almost play it out as a movie in my head. So I thought when I went to do this movie that probably the best person to direct it would be me, because I know exactly what it is, you know, that I want.
Yeah, but you have the vision, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally, you had a vision. So that's kind of, that's cool. What I would like people to know is that it's also really awesome for someone locally from Madison County to be doing this and to be reaching, you know, for your dreams and your goals like you're doing. If you could just kind of introduce yourself as you started off and like take us through, Aaron, like what it was like growing up where you did and how you got interested in movies and in film and in acting and in art in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell everybody it's a really long, crazy story, and it's going to make for a good book one day or movie. But I basically started my interest like in acting and filmmaking kind of came unusually. I always wanted to become a professional wrestler, and that was my dream, and that was my goal ever since I was 11, 12 years old. I got into it really young, and I was doing like performance shows at like 13 years old, you know, performing in front of crowds, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. And when I was a kid, you know, I would set up, you know, basically sets in my backyard and stuff, and put on these productions, but it was for wrestling, because that was my dream. But little did I know that type of script writing and production making would lend itself into what I actually ended up pursuing. I graduated high school. I went to high school, Madison Plains High School. I graduated in 2007. And you know, I did the college thing while I was in high school, because I knew, like I said, from very early on that I wanted to pursue like a different type of career path. So I graduated high school and I moved to Tampa, Florida at 19, because that's where I don't know if you're familiar with professional wrestling, but World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, had a training facility in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
I moved down to Florida. I did the whole professional wrestling thing, again, performing in front of people and putting on basically these big stage plays. You know, that's why a lot of professional wrestlers move into acting, because it's a very similar, it's a performance-based, you know, entertainment. So,
right.
So I did that for about a year, and I went to a tryout. They told me to just basically gain a little bit more weight. When I was in high school, I wrestled like at the lowest weight classes imaginable, at like 103 pounds. And but by the time I went to Florida, I had bulked up to like nearly 200, but they still wanted me to get bigger. So long story short, I moved back to Ohio in about 2009, and I started, you know, just basically trying to get bigger, you know, just working on that. I was working a day job, and a few people at the day job started to joke with me, and they were saying, "Hey, Aaron, you should be an actor and, you know, quit doing this wrestling thing, getting punched in your face and stuff. And I always like laughed at them and just blew it off. Like, okay, guys, whatever. But the more they said it, the more like interested, you know, I became. Like my people laugh at me all the time, but like my one of my biggest idols and like you know, like somebody that I really look up to is The Rock, and that's what made me wanting to get into wrestling. And around that time, you know, was when The Rock was making a big transition into acting.
Right.
And, you know, I was following his story, and I was like, well, if it's good enough for The Rock, I might as well try, you know.
Yep.
So I did a few, I did a few baby steps. I was doing research, like, how to become an extra and how to do this and how to do that. But I really didn't commit to it yet. You know, I was still in the wrestling mindset. One day, like this is the crazy coincidental story, but one day I woke up like unusually early, and I checked my phone and I went to one of these casting websites that I was like at this point like just looking for like extra gigs and stuff. And there was this movie that was casting in West Virginia, and it's like about a 4-hour drive or a 3-hour drive. And casting for this movie, they were casting extras, and it was a period like movie. It was set in the '70s, and at this point in life, I had like shoulder length blonde hair because, you know, I was a wrestler, so that's you know I had
yep.
I had the hair for wrestling.
Yep.
So the movie was set in the '70s. I like had the '70s hair. You know, I had a car that was from the 1970s, and I was just like, this is perfect. I can just drive around in the background. I could be an extra, you know, something to get my foot in the door, basically. It was a 3-hour drive, and the casting call was over in like 4 hours.
Mm.
So like I would have like, so I saw that, and you know, I stood up and I went out, and I was like, you know, I told my parents at the time, I was like, never really talked much about this, but I kind of want to go to this like extras thing that's like casting in West Virginia, 3 hours away. So they were just like, I mean, okay, that's what you want to do. So I hopped in the car, drove out there. I made it there with like an hour to spare, stood in line with like hundreds of other people. And I didn't hear anything back for a few weeks, actually. And then a few weeks later, the extras casting director got a hold of me and said, we want you for something more important than just being an extra.
Wow.
One of the main actors in the movie is an older guy. He had long blonde hair though. So they wanted to use me as like a stand-in / photo double. And that's basically just the job that somebody who looks similar to a main actor will stand in position as which the actual actor would. And they adjust the lights, you know, to you. They adjust the camera height to you. Like, they adjust the movements and the blocking to what you're doing. That way, the main actor can be off, like, studying his lines, and all he has to do is walk on the set, and everybody's all ready to go.
Oh, cool.
So with that being said, I was basically working, like, on a first-name basis with, you know, the camera operator, the director. And at this time, again, like I knew a little bit about movies because I've always been a big movie fan, but, you know, nothing too extreme. That movie was Super 8. It was directed by J.J. Abrams, who currently just directed the Star Wars reboot.
Right. That's amazing.
And produced by Steven Spielberg. So it was kind of just like a pure coincidental luck thing that I woke up and I saw that, drove out there to it. And the story just like snowballs from there. Like I was on set pretty much every day with these guys for a few months, and just doing this type of work. And it was just a cool experience to be dropped into like the middle of the acting ocean. Like it wasn't so much acting skill, but it was just being around those types of people, you know, being on a first name basis with these, you know, super famous directors and actors and actresses and everybody. It was just such an amazing experience. And for my first time being out there, like, the stuff that I learned was just, you know, immeasurable. So being on set every day, a funny story, the very first time I walked on the set, I didn't know what I was doing or where I was supposed to go. I went up to this guy who, like, had a clipboard in his hand, so I figured he knew. And yeah, and
the old clipboard guy.
But, yeah, exactly, right? He had a headset and a clipboard. I was like, oh, he must know things. So I went up to him. I introduced myself, and, you know, I said, I don't know where to go. He was like, well, you're actually, they dropped you off at the wrong place. You're supposed to be down here. And he said, just wait a few minutes and I'll take you down with me, you know. So he helped me out a bunch that first day and took me to where I needed to be. So from that day forward, every day I was on set, I made a point to go up to the dude and, like, shake his hand and say, you know, good to see you, you know, top of the morning, you know, just being nice, friendly, because he helped me out the first day. The very last day on set, we were there and somebody, one of the other people that I was working with, had the idea. They're like, wouldn't it be cool if we could go to California to finish helping them make the movie? Because they were doing a bunch of the outside stuff in West Virginia, but they were going to go back to California to film the, like, interior stuff. So somebody said it as a joke, and I was like, well, I'm going to ask and see, you know. So I went up to the extras casting lady. I mean, because what's it going to hurt to ask? I think being new to the business, like, I was very, like, naive. So it's, like, that cool kind of, like, just devil-may-care attitude that, you know,
yeah,
gets you lucky sometimes. So I just went up to the extras casting lady, and I said, is there any way that I could go out to California and continue doing what I'm doing? And she said, well, you know, the crew really likes you guys. You're doing a good job. You know, she said, you'd have to talk to the assistant director, though. And I said, well, who's the assistant director? And she said, oh, it's that guy over there. And it was the same dude that,
oh, that's loud. That's loud.
That I've gone up to and talked to, like, every single morning. So I walked up to him and I said, hey, you know, I told him my spiel, and he was very hesitant. And he said, he ended it with saying, well, if you can get out there, then we'd give you a job. So, and again, like, I could, I left there that day. The next day I packed a few things up in my car, drove all the way out to California.
That's great.
And yeah. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of money at the time. I was just, you know, man on a mission. And, I stayed in my car. Actually, I lived in my car for, a little over a month, trying to get a hold of these people, because when I got out here, I made a call to them, and nobody was returning a phone call, and I was sending emails, nobody was returning emails, and I was getting nervous, and it was a month, like a little over a month of me just living in my car out here, not getting a hold of anybody. The day that I finally gave up, I was like, you know, today's the day. I'm just, you know, I tried. I'm going to turn around and go back home. I got in the car, drove down, and got down like maybe two exits. I had somebody call me, and they said, I don't know if you want to give it one more day, but I just talked to somebody who said that the assistant director may give you a call tomorrow. So I was like, well, let's try it one more day. So I spun back around, and I parked. Sure enough, he called me that night, and he said, hey, you know, like, we would love you to be a production assistant, which is basically, depending on what they want you to do. I had zero experience. My job for 18 hours pretty much was to guard a door at a warehouse that they were filming in. But I was in charge of guarding the very, very back door, that which, like, nobody entered or exited the entire time. Like, they literally just gave me a job, I feel like, because I was there, you know. He was keeping up his end of the deal. I found out the day that I went there that the reason why nobody was getting in touch with me was because everybody went on Thanksgiving break. And I didn't know that movies had breaks like that. So from their transition from West Virginia to California, they went on a break. And I didn't, because I didn't know. So I went out there and like I was the best door guard that you could imagine. And
yep.
You know, I knocked it out of the park for that whatever 16 hours, and when the day was done, they clocked me out, and you know, I was still the last one to leave. I stood around and I like helped. I was helping people do literally anything, and he kept coming over to me saying like, "You can go," and I was like, you know, I drove all the way out here for this. Like, I'm not leaving anywhere. So, I worked at it, and then he called me the next day and he said, you know, you really helped us out yesterday. We'd love to have you, you know, be a stand-in photo double for the rest of the movie. So,
wow.
I got enough work on that to be able to join the Actors Union, which people have like can work years for. And literally, I got it within a few months. I don't think luck. Like, I don't like the word luck. Like, I think luck is basically just like seeing an opportunity, and just like being prepared for it and just capitalizing on it. So I was in a position where, like, multiple times I had multiple opportunities, and like, lucky things don't just happen. You have to do something in order to be put in that position. So I got some really amazing opportunities, and I just took advantage of them. And that's, you know, that's pretty much how everything started and how everything, you
know,
evolved.
Now, Aaron, how would you help somebody else out? With what I can feel and when I'm talking to you is that drive that you had. It was like when you want to do something, when you want to be a part of something and it means a lot to you, it's like that incredible drive that people have. How do you describe that with you? I mean, have you always had that?
I don't really know. I've had this conversation with many people before. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, I didn't even recognize it until I got out here around other actors, and I'm not trying to stomp on anybody else's like career or their path, but like, it's very difficult for me to find other people as passionate and as driven as myself, because I know that I got into this late. I know that I didn't take theater in school. I didn't graduate with an arts degree. I'm not the best, you know, reader. I'm not the best speaker, but I may not even be the most talented. But what I do know is that, you know, I have the most, like, work ethic out of anybody and the most drive out of anybody to just be like, I don't know how to do this, but, you know, I guarantee you that I'm either going to figure it out or I'm going to die trying. You know, it's almost like stupidity. It's just blind faith that like what you're doing, you know, is right. And you know that like, it's basically what it is. It's faith. You talk to religious, somebody who's religious, and you know, no matter what anybody says, they believe in their religion. It's their faith. It's 100%. And it's basically the same way. You just got to believe in yourself that same exact way. And, just whatever, you know, sometimes it's tough. You know, people say, oh yeah, my cousin did that and it didn't work out too well for him. Like, oh yeah. Like, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, I started doing this in, you know, 2009 basically. And, you know, I'm just now like seeing a little bit of like cool residuals from that. But, you know, I've always told everybody, I don't care if it takes me until I'm 70. You know, it's like, you don't want to quit when you don't know how close you actually are. So, like, drive and passion, like, that's the two big things. I was just talking to somebody the other day about this, and it's like, you know, it's just, I think that's a big thing. Like, it's almost the X factor that people talk about having, that you need to have in this type of, any type of business, any kind of business whatsoever, whether you're like running a little business, you know, selling toothbrushes, or if you're, you know, the Donald Trump of the world. Like, you have to have some kind of like fierceness and just, you know, like almost, you know, like I said, just a blind faith in like what you're doing is right. And, you know, just believe it, you know. I don't know how many people you see, like, motivational stories and stuff online, and people all pretty much say the same exact thing. And it sounds crazy and it sounds stupid, but if you really believe it, then you can get to where, you know, I am. You can get to where anybody is. All you have to do is make a decision, you know, like, just decide that this is what you want to do, and you will do literally anything in your power to get there, you know, no matter how long it takes, what the cost is. You're going to do it, and you're going to get it done. And that's the way that I've pretty much approached everything. Like, if I had to put a date to it from when this started, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my parents were into, like, motivational speakers and stuff. So maybe, like, when I was, you know, 6 or 7 in those developmental stages, and I could see, like, little motivational books laying around, maybe that sunk in. You know, when I started in high school, I was, you know, I was a big wrestler. Like, wrestling to me is, like, the greatest sport out there. Not professional wrestling. I mean, that's a great sport too, but, like, you know, Olympic, collegiate, high school wrestling, because that's one of the only sports where it's you and the other guy. And
right. Yep.
There's no, you know, there's no like politics. It's just, if you practice and you train hard and you do a good job, you know, the results will come from that. I got into weightlifting and bodybuilding, you know, and it's pretty much the same thing. Like, you can't politic your way around bodybuilding, you know. You put
yep.
in the work and you see the results. So
yeah, what part of this, Aaron, do you contribute to being, you know, from the Midwest and being from, you know, if people are listening to this, and I have people listening from all over the place, and for people out there, we live right now where I live out in West Jefferson, Ohio, which is right close to where Aaron
yeah.
grew up, and it is about as flat as you can possibly get. I mean, it's like
yeah.
they say that, yeah, people say flatlands. It is like flat. It's cornfields, soybean fields. I mean, it's just farmland. And what part of your childhood and growing up in that type of environment and community do you contribute to that drive and to contribute to that? Because when you're writing, and you said you're screenwriting, when you're putting movies together, are what part of your childhood and that ethic, you know, that you received from your parents and from your community contributes to that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, when it comes to, like, drive and determination, like, that's one thing. That's, you know, part of the puzzle. You know, when you get one of these opportunities to capitalize on it, obviously you got to have the want to do that. That's the drive. But the other part of that, like, it's almost a three-part puzzle. You know, you got the drive, then you have the talent, which, again, I believe drive is a little bit more important. But then the third piece is just kindness. And I think that, I mean, you can't go anywhere if you have a big head. You can't go anywhere if you're just not a nice person. People want to work with nice people. They want nice people around them. And, you know, film companies want to trust their business, their multi-million-dollar movie, to you because you're a kind person, because you can go on interviews with people and be a nice person and not, you know, sound arrogant or big-headed. And that's a Midwest quality through and through. I mean, I've been living out in California for a while. I lived in Florida, and I mean, people are nice, you know, like, wherever you go, obviously, but Midwest people are a really, really nice, polite group of people. And I've heard that a bunch from people out here, you know, saying that to me, like, wow, you're a really nice person. Like, you must be from the Midwest. So it's hilarious. Like, people know exactly where you're from out here. Because, oh, I'm sure I have some sort of an accent too, but, you know, it's just that kindness, and that just grows up, or that just evolves from where you grew up at. You know, if you're raised in a nice environment with, you know, in a community, that's a nice community. Like I've told people before, I'm sure we'll get into this, like the movie that I'm working on now. I'm getting, like, a ton of support from these people, you know, back home. And, like, some it's because, you know, like it's my hometown and they're just trying to support a local. And other people, it's just because they're being kind. Like they see that somebody's trying to pursue their dream and they just want to be a nice person, and show their support. So I think that that's definitely one of the big aspects about growing up in that type of environment out there is just, you know, just learning how to just be polite to people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's such a good point, and I think it's something that people may not, like, you can spend a lot of money working on this and working on that, but just treating people with respect and, you know, looking them in the eye and things that I'm used to. I had a situation where I worked for a big company, and I worked in New York City for a while, and it's really a long way from here, not just, you know, miles, but it's just totally different environment.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, where are you from? And Aaron, I would say, oh, from Ohio. And they would look at me like I was from the moon or, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
What? You know,
yeah.
And it's,
I mean,
like,
it's,
yeah, isn't it crazy? It's wild.
It's a different life. It's a different type of people, but it's,
It's something I think is really cool, though. I mean, there's a lot of really good stars that have come from Ohio and people that have come from the area. I know that it's one of the things that I think I'm proud of when I talk to people about Ohio because of the things that's come from here. But let's do kind of connect with what's going on now. Now, the movie that you had that you completed, the short film, Debt Comes Due, and that's released – right, and the new one is Last Riot, Madison. Is that correct? And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the making of the short film, Debt Comes Due, and then, if you would, Aaron, just tell us what's going on with the new movie. It's going to be a full length movie. It's going to be shot in location in London, Ohio, which is a small town. It's kind of a cool town, though. I mean, really has – you probably have a lot of things there that you can use. I mean, because it's just got that feel to it. It's got the great courthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really cool things. So if you could just talk about that. I mean, there's so many questions I have, but I want you to just say, you know, what you want us to know about the films and what we can do.
Yeah.
And also, before I forget, you know, if there's a website and how that the listeners can contribute and help out with this.
Yeah, absolutely. The short film, it was basically one of the things I got tired of just sitting around, you know, waiting for things to happen. You know, like there's a saying that I always – like try to live up to, like, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. You know, if you want something that you've never done, or if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. And it got to the point of me just sitting around, just waiting for these things. And you know, like I realized I was going nowhere. So I came up with the idea that if I wasn't going to get cast in something, then I was just going to make my own something and cast myself. So I got together with a group of people and I started, you know, I that was the first script that I sat down with the idea that I'm going to make this movie. A lot of my scripts that I've written have just been like cool ideas that I like. And that I just like I'm going to write this down and maybe one day I'll turn this into a movie. Just kind of get that inspiration flowing that way. This was the first movie where I said, well, I need to make like a little short film. I'm going to sit down and try to make a script, you know, and then go from there. So the whole turnaround process for that was very short. I got the idea and I wrote the script. And like I said, it's only a 12, 13 minute short film. And I started the idea basically a month before we shot it. So I wrote the script. I got in touch with some people that I worked with out here that knew some people that basically got me a cast and a crew together.
Wow.
And I, you know, just through that, that's the other big thing. You have to, you know, you definitely have to keep connections and you can't burn bridges with anybody because you never know who can, you know, help you out in the future. So,
right. Exactly.
I did that and I got the, you know, everybody got together, wrote the film, tried to raise money for that one, failed. I realized my mistakes, and I'm trying to correct that now with this film. But I did everything for that film to try to raise money, from literally like writing out handwritten notes, putting them in envelopes, and walking around door to door to like people in LA, like handing out these envelopes, saying like telling my story and saying that I'm trying to do this. People out here see that, like, see movies being made all the time, so I didn't get as much attention from that as what I would have liked. But so we put the movie together, and we made that last June, actually, and we shot it, and it took quite a bit of time to edit everything together. The group of guys who ended up doing some of the special effects and stuff were from Russia. So it took a while for us to get translated notes to them, and then they send us notes back and then have them translated, and back and forth, back and forth. Plus, I didn't have the money to just give somebody and say, hey, make this happen. So I was paying as I went, so it took a while for it to come out, basically almost a year. And we did the movie, we got it done, submitted it to the Cannes Film Festival in France. It got accepted, like it showed there.
That's awesome.
This month. And it costs money to submit things to festivals. So the initial idea when I made this movie was I wanted to just make something that I could have as like a cool calling card to show people like I can write, to show people that I can act,
right,
and
that's
have
cool.
Something, something a little cool to share with people. So that was the initial idea. After I did it and like kind of saw, and I was seeing people's reactions of it, and I thought like, this could help me even more than what I first thought. The problem is submitting to festivals costs money. So at this point, I had already changed focus from the short film to making a feature film, because I said if I could do this with a month and, X amount of dollars that I paid myself, imagine what I could do with 6 months and, a bigger cast, a bigger crew, and more money, and, I could put together something amazing. So I didn't want to invest any more money into any more film festivals than what we already submitted to. The short film, it did really well. I've even shown it to, we actually had a screening in London a few months ago. And quite a few people came out. People, obviously there were family there. There were friends, old high school friends showed up. But there were some people there that I had never, I don't know. They were just people from around town that were interested.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they showed up and, they enjoyed it and they liked it. So it
that's
really,
gotta make you feel good.
Exactly. That's what
I was gonna say.
It really motivated me to go like, wow, maybe I am kind of onto something. Of course, you're still gonna have those doubts with anything creative that you put together, but like it does help you like feel like you're not just that crazy person on American Idol that's like just terrible and they're like, well, I'm gonna be a superstar. I know I'm not like William Hung or anything like that.
Yeah, what's he doing these days? I haven't heard too much from him lately.
That was a terrible reference, by the way. I've been a busy man. I haven't seen much on TV since 2004.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that one. I don't think I've seen that TV show ever. So, But to get back to that, and then when you had that out there and you started seeing people's reactions to that, what do you look for, Aaron, when you're looking for, like you're writing a screenplay, but you want people to represent what it's all about for you. So it's got to be very important to cast it correctly, to get people to feel that feeling that you have. Is that easy for you to do or is that difficult?
I mean, the short film, it was a strange thing because the short film, I wanted to be able to write it and I wanted to be able to like give my input here and there but I kind of just wanted to go there and act, because that's what it was for me, was like an outlet to act, to advertise myself as an actor. I wrote it because I like writing, and I know what I can act well in, so I wrote it for myself. But as far as like a lot of the creative stuff, I had ideas, but I kind of just stepped back. I had like obviously input on every aspect of it, but to actually tell the story, I was, you know, I was entrusting other people to show that visually. And while it didn't come out at all like what I saw in my head, it was, you know, like it, like almost nothing like how I told you, like when I write things out, like I can almost picture it. Almost nothing came out the way that I pictured. Not saying that's a bad thing. It's just when it just shows you how when you get another creative mind in on something, they just see things differently. But luckily, you know, like when we cast one of the guy who is the co-star in the short film with me, he's actually going to be working on the feature film with me as well. We casted him, and he was just like, he was one of those people where he walked in and was almost identical to what I saw in my head. So
luckily
it was just like one of those turn of fate things that we found somebody almost perfect, to what I had imagined. But yeah, I mean, like we, you know, knocked that out. And after that idea, I was just like, you know, I really want to do a feature film. But this time around, I want it, you know, because, like, it's one of those, again, like, there's a very borderline edge of, like, sounding, like, confident and sounding, like, you know, just a little narcissistic. But I was like, I know that, like, so, like the story that I have can make for a really amazing story, and I want to be in control of it a little bit more creatively. So that's why I decided to direct the feature film, and I went from there. So I went from the aspect of, okay, I want to make this movie. Like, I have a few scripts that I've written, and I want to direct this movie, so how do I do that? So I went through my scripts, and I was deciding which one would be, like, the best one to shoot. And I one that I wrote, like, almost three quarters of the way through, it was one that I stopped on that takes place in like a little small town. And when I wrote the movie, I had London in my head when I wrote it. It was one of those visual things where like I saw it and I wrote it as if it took place in London. And to be honest, the script is pretty extensive. It would be a very difficult script to shoot on a low budget. But I said, what the heck? Like, let me try and see, make a few phone calls, see what can happen, and let's run with this idea. So I took that script, and again, with this one here, it was perfect because the role that – when I went through and I wrote this script, all my other scripts that I've written, I haven't really sat down and said, I want to be the lead character. I'm going to write this script out centered around me. I just have a good idea for a story, and I want to write it down. This one here, the lead characters were never me. Like I never saw myself as these lead characters. There was a side character, like a little supporting character, as I was writing the story that I went, wow, this guy's kind of cool. Like if I ever made this movie, this is who I would want to be. And as it turns out, like by doing so, by taking that role, it's going to give me a lot more time to sit back and direct and,
right,
and make sure that things creatively come out exactly the way that I see it. So it kind of worked out perfectly. And I kind of moved forward with that idea. I mean, the script has, you know, there's riots, there are military vehicles, there are prisons, there's like tons of like big budget things that, you know, made me scared a little bit, but I just kind of took the same attitude that I did with everything else that I've done. Like, well, you're not going to know unless you ask, and you know, you'd be surprised what people are willing to do if, you know, if you're just honest with them, if you're upfront, and you know, you ask. So, you know, I started making phone calls back home, and you know, I talked to the mayor and the police chief and the fire chief, and Like, you know, they obviously we went through the correct steps and we had our meetings and we met over the phone and in person. And but you know, they're allowing me to do some really amazing stuff, which a person in my situation normally would not be able to do. Road closures, you know, like I said, having military vehicles run up and down the streets. The military vehicles themselves are being donated by just a local who just wants to help out, wants to show support, you know. So
wow, that's great.
What's really amazing about this movie thus far is, like, this was another thing I was talking to somebody about yesterday, was the attitude that I had when I started, you know, my career was, I'm willing to literally do anything to get to where I want to be, because that's kind of what you have to do sometimes, you know. You hear all these, like, amazing stories about people who like, start from the bottom and they do something, like, incredible. Like, that's not by luck, you know. Like, these people are opportunists. These people are, like, they're, you know, just amazing people, and that's why they can do amazing things. So what's really great about this movie, this story, is that it's a really amazing story, because literally it would not be made if it wasn't for having a cast, having a crew, and having a town supporting me that is very similar in attitude to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A lot of the cast, a lot of the crew are working for free. Almost 95% of them. Like, and we're filming for a month, and these people are coming from out of state, you know, coming in and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes because I like the script and, you know, I'm on board with the idea and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make a good movie. And, you know, that's, like, to have that type of person, like, one person is amazing. And if we can fill the entire roster with people like that, you know, it's just, it's incredible. And the town itself, like I said, London, you have people offering up, you know, their free time to come out and be extras in the movie. They're offering up their, you know, military vehicles to help out. Like I said, even higher up officials like the mayor and the police chief, you know, they're given all these amazing opportunities to do this incredible stuff just simply because they believe in the project. So,
yeah, that's great. And they believe in you, Aaron, because, you know, you've got that infectious attitude. You've got that, like, this is going to happen. And I can feel that by talking to you. It's like, you know, there's no doubt in your mind in what you're going to accomplish. And I think that's one of the things that people will pick up on.
I was going to say, it's almost like, you know, like, I know. It's just, I'm waiting for the rest of the world to catch up with me, you know. Like, it's going to be done. It's going to do a good job. I'm just waiting for everybody else to realize it, you know.
Yeah.
But, the town is just amazing. Like, thus far, everything has, like, been going smoothly. As far as cast, you asked about cast. Like, it's almost the same thing. Like, I've cast, like, the people that I almost saw specifically in my head. We've had a few, like, struggles up and downs with the cast, but the people that we have now are amazing. The crew, we just, like, finalized a couple days ago. Like, they're all amazing. And it's just like I don't know if there's a better adjective besides amazing and spectacular, but everything thus far has been going just that. The town, like I said, the people who showed up to the screening that we had, you know, was really interested. I've been posting things on Facebook. If you go search the feature film Last Riot Madison on Facebook, that's a working title, by the way. Like, it will change eventually.
Okay.
But if you go search that on Facebook, if you search me on Facebook, you can connect to us personally. And you know, we've been putting out ads for anybody who wants to be an extra in the movie, because we're going to need tons of people to be protesters, to be cops, to be civilian. If you're interested, you know, go to my Facebook page, go to the movie's Facebook page, or you can email us directly, londonfilmcastandcrew@gmail.com, all one word, londonfilmcastandcrew@gmail.com. And that's where, you know, that's kind of our go-to outlets if you are interested in being a part. Crew positions, you know, we could always use the assistance to help set up things, tear down things, if that's what you're interested in, instead of being in front of the camera. But as I said, we have extra positions. Tons of them, you know, still need filled. Just, you know, submit to us. We'll probably send you an email that says we're going to keep your information on file, and we'll send you the exact dates and times as we get closer. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, before I forget it, Aaron, what can people do if they want to help contribute and do for the fundraiser for the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. We started an Indiegogo campaign. Again, you can search that via my Facebook page. Like, it's splattered all over that. You can search that via the Facebook page for the movie. You can go to Indiegogo itself and type in Last Ride Madison, search for it that way. Or you can follow the website, igg.me/@MadisonFilm. So igg.me/@MadisonFilm is where we're doing our Kickstarter or our Indiegogo campaign. Like I said, if you can't remember that, it's on any of our Facebook pages. Go check it out, because the point that we're in now, literally, as I said before, the movie that we're making is probably, even as an independent movie, is probably a $150,000 movie, which doesn't seem much, like, according to, like, the Marvel million-dollar budget movies, but for an independent film, this would probably be a $150,000 film. I'm asking for $25,000 because of literally everybody's support that's given us, you know, their assistance, from, you know, lending us vehicles to lending us their time to, you know, offering up props and wardrobes and willing to cook meals for us. And, you know, people keep donating things that's lowering the budget of the movie down and down and down. But there is a base that which we need actually monetary support, because, you know, you still have to pay people. So there's only so many people that's given away, you know, their time for free. You know, there are other few people, you know, like the cameraman, the sound guy, people like that who are, you know, they actually need a wage. There are other things that obviously we can't just borrow from. Food, obviously, we got to feed people. We got to house some people. So there are a base. There is a basement for how far, like, donations can go, and then we need to get into more of the monetary donations. And, you know, so far, like, so good. We've had it up for a couple weeks now. This week has actually been a slow week. The first week that we started, we did really well on. And not only people donated that way, but, you know, people got in touch with me via Facebook, and they said, hey, you know, I don't really know too much about how to donate things online. I just want to send you a check. Like, how do I do that?
Right.
And again, you can contact me via, like, Facebook if that's what you want to do. But the first week that we, the Kickstarter, or the, sorry, the Indiegogo shows us right now at, you know, roughly, I don't know, $700, I think, is what we raised. But I've received an additional $4,000 via through Facebook. So we're actually, like, it's going really, really well thus far. The first week, as I said, this week has kind of slowed down a little bit, but I'm hoping, you know, with the little bit of attention that we get from this interview, people, you know, will be motivated again. Plus, we're going to be shooting the entire month of June, and the campaign is going to run through June as well. So once we're out there and we're working, people's going to see us. They're going to know that, you know, we're not just blowing smoke. And money's also going to help finish the project faster. I've told everybody, most people run these campaigns and they say, if we can't raise the money, we can't do the project. Like, the project's going to be made regardless. Like, Like, I've already decided that. I've already, like, the town knows that. Like, the movie's going to start filming June 8th in London. The money will determine how quickly post-production will go. You know, it took me a year to get a 12-minute short film out because I had to fund it myself. So hopefully, you know, through investments from donors in town, we can, you know, not only make an even better product, we can get it out a lot sooner and, you know, make everybody just as proud to see it and be a part of it, you know, as I will be to film there.
Well, Aaron, it's been great having you on. I really think you've got an incredible amount of talent. I'm really looking forward to it. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing to the people that are listening tonight? We just got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, again, I want to thank everybody who's shown their support thus far, from, you know, offering up, you know, your 7-year-old to be an extra, to people offering up, you know, large amounts of money. Like, everything is helping us. And I just hope, and I, you know, I pray that everybody is going to continue to show that support. Like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, like our Indiegogo page, share that. Make any donation that you can. We have some really cool perks set up too, as like a reward. If you're interested in donating, you know, everything from speaking lines to props to you know, invitations to screenings, check it out. And I'm really excited to see everybody. And like, it's literally a week from today is when I'll be in town. So,
well, that's
I'll get
awesome.
There and we'll start setting up things, and we'll be ready to shoot on June 8th. So,
well, the best of luck, Aaron. My guest is Aaron Garrett, and you can go on his Facebook page and, you know, just follow it. And if you're in this area, it'd just be awesome if you want to be involved in it. Last Riot, Madison is the name of the movie. Aaron, thank you so much for being on, and thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. And we're looking forward to seeing this, and this will be very exciting for our area, Aaron. So good luck, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening to John Talk Radio tonight, and we'll be back next week. Everybody have a great evening.
A young girl was walking the streets of Madrid. I thought I might join her, but I never did. She beckoned me over, I asked her to wait. I made up my mind a little too late. Come join me this evening, her eyes seemed sad, but I didn't answer. I looked away, only a moment, but a moment too long. When I looked back, the young girl. If I'd only known what I know now, if there were a way to reach her somehow, I still remember the day we first met, the look in her eyes. Festival starting.